shocked by that.
Caddy will try to put him in another truck.
Can that,
truck move him?
Well, it's full of whole lot, it's loaded.
Oh,
that old big truck, the old Maladone.
Oh.
Of course, that boat's down there. It takes up full, and anybody can get right in front of that truck to hit him.
They won't have no traction.
I'll put the rod down here.
Well, sir.
Might as well you get that off.
Ain't he a buster?
Where'd you get him? It's not grown yet.
Oh, he's just a baby.
Mm-hmm. Wonder where, how could I go about getting one? Is it a male or female you got?
It's male.
I'd love to have one. That's the only kind of dog I like. I love those little devils, you know.
Yeah. This is smart.
It's a fox terrier.
Yeah, fox terrier, rat terrier, whatever you call them.
And they're good to children.
Yes. And they're no trouble.
Oh, if she has a female, could you get another one? You know, you can handle those kind of dogs. You can raise those kind of dogs. If I could get a female, I wouldn't mind raising some. People too lazy to raise them, I reckon.
Well, I think he got tired of it. Oh, I didn't tell him.
Do you know him? I don't know him.
Well, you don't have to.
You see him, or would you think to call him asking if he had a female puppy you'd give me?
He don't have any now.
He doesn't?
No, this is the last one to litter.
I wouldn't give you 15 cents to know what kind of dog. And I love a bird dog. Yeah. At that moment, I'd take it as long as it's a good strain of dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't want one. I don't want to be part Chihuahua and part something else.
Yeah.
I saw your wife sitting over there, and I didn't have time to get up and go see the dog, but I took the dog away from him if I had. But this man that was visiting here, he's a friend of mine, and he used to be one of my old boarders.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. He used to pull through here on the train, railroad engineerman.
Oh.
From High Springs. And he lost his wife about 2 years ago, and he sat in his quarters when his wife was living. And, he said he'd been wanting to stop in to see me, and every time he'd come back, it was a suitable time. And so last week he stopped in to visit for a while, come to find out he railroaded with Bill Wynn's father.
Oh.
So he had a long talk with Bill, and so he was going down to Orlando. He was going to take real estate exam. Uh-huh. I said, Miss Addison, you leave that damn real estate alone. And so he wanted to visit and talk a while, so he come back by to see me. He's an awful nice old fella.
Uh-huh.
I never had no trouble with him, except he did love to play poker.
Oh, just had it in blood.
Yeah, and his wife lived, I usually put just a bunch of men over in the house that I'm living in, at the annex of the hotel, and I usually just put men over there. And I had the apartment rented too over there, and he couldn't keep from it. He'd have several friends around come in the evening, they have folks here.
Yeah.
Well, I...
And that'd keep it going.
And that, I didn't approve of it, and one or two of the women, I had heard the remark made outside that Annie Mae was letting them. And I went to the lady and I said, no, Annie Mae's not letting them. I said, Annie Mae's told them not to play.
Annie Mae is a big truck stuck in a little truck.
It's a big truck, I guess, and a load of watermelon.
What do you say?
Bill's been in gone.
He since Henry left?
Yeah. And
you
so,
said a big truck was there when you come by?
It's stuck, yeah. Yeah.
The big semi?
Yes.
Well, it ain't much in an old ditch, ain't much of a ditch, ain't
it? Not much, Henry, except it's soft, fairly soft. Soft on the
and
outside.
And he's kind of downhill, too. He's kind of heading down that way.
Yes, he's heading in the right way.
Yeah.
But he had to be full now. He better not pull himself.
So I just finally went to Miss Addison to him. I said, you just got to quit this poker playing now, Miss Addison, myself. If you want to play, go someplace else. Don't play under my roof. Because I said, I never have carried a bad name in my life in this town. I said, I don't intend to create one now. And I've been living here since I was 3 years old, and I'm clean white and 21.
Yeah.
57.
Let me ask you something personal, but now you don't have to answer it personal. You take people like Ms. Hayden and Ms. Ruckman. I just happen to know them. Don't they, aren't they isn't it a nice thing to have people like that in the community?
Oh, my children just love, you know, Miss Hayden lives in my house.
Yeah.
My sons say, Mama, it's really it should be a really an honor to have her live in your house.
Yes.
I said, well, I feel that way too.
Yeah.
Yes, I love Miss Annette. But you know, Mr. Miles, now I'm going to tell you, this is not gossiping, but I'm going to tell you that woman can find out more damn gossip than many more. How do they do it?
Well,
they hear things that I don't ever hear.
And you right here in
and I'm right here
public
and
life.
And I call myself a roughy toughy.
Yeah.
But, because if a little bit of slang words needs to be used, I know right where to go get them, use them right quick. But that's the truth. Miss Annette hears things so darn quick. What do they hear? I often wonder what they do at those prayer meetings.
Well, you see,
I'm always kidding Annette about that.
Yeah.
I say, what do y'all talk about these prayer meetings, you know?
Yeah.
And then she'll tell me something, or maybe say, anyway, she's concerned about it.
Yeah.
She's not gossiping.
Yeah.
Did you know so-and-so, you know? And I said, no, I sure didn't. I said, where'd you hear it? Well, she said, one of the ladies said, I said, what are y'all, I said, what y'all talking about at prayer meeting? Kid her about it.
Can you kid her?
Oh, yeah. She's good sport.
Yeah, she's good sport.
Yeah.
Well, all I know about it, you know, is I've been to the Sunday school
mm-hmm.
a number of times up there. I just love to hear her and hear the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
she's good.
You know,
keep you tied to them long enough for you to sit there and listen to it. That's true.
I don't know.
I haven't got any education, Miles.
I don't
know.
But I'm
going to tell you one thing. I worked like the devil to educate my two children. I realized I needed it.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do is I wanted to be a nurse.
Oh, really?
The worst kind. And my brothers all said, they wouldn't let me be. And I have been more nursing and delivering babies than their families.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I delivered one, gosh, it was on Thursday afternoon, and he said, now, Annie Mae, he said, I know that you know. And he said, don't you call me until time for that baby to be delivered. And I said, all right. Now, I said, I'm going to listen to you. But I said, when I tell you to come, don't you say, well, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Or 15 minutes. I said, when I tell you to come, you come. So he did. And you know how long he was in the house? He was in the house 15 minutes, and that baby was there.
Yeah.
But he promised me that he'd come the minute I called. If I didn't call him, and he went home and went to sleep. But that's really my line of business. I love the public, and I love... I work real good in a funeral home. I love that.
Oh, really?
Miss Birdie, you have a handsaw right here.
A handsaw? Not just hanging on that post over there, honey.
Somebody borrowed it. Easy to borrow it, easy to get it back, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't know where it is then. I could work in a funeral parlor, and I could undertake an establishment, I should say. I could work as a nurse, but I had this darn church business crammed down my throat. That's public life.
Did you do that?
Of nursing, because I took care of all my sick people. If anybody got sick, I nursed them through and took care of them. Gave him shots, and anything the doctor said do, I did it.
Was you over there good while?
20 years.
Now you see.
When did that you were here?
Well, it'd be about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, no. That was when people were there.
Oh.
I didn't never close that thing up. I run that thing better than 19 years, nearly 20 years, and I never missed the first meal 3 times a day.
Oh, you were in here when I came down here.
Oh, that's right.
You were already
in
here.
I had sold it to
you and
them.
Him both. Yes.
I had sold it to them.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Who took it over from you?
Hopwood.
Huh?
Mrs. Hopwood. Mrs. Mercer. Mrs. Inman. Mrs. McCoon.
Yes.
She wasn't a McCoon when she got it. She was a Hopwood.
Oh.
And then she married another man, a tramp. He was a tramp because the year before she bought it, he slept in that den over there at the packing house, and he came over to my house and wanted a place to stay, and I said, I don't keep people looking like you. Speak Franken person. I'm that Frank person, I'll tell you. And I told him, I said, I'll give you a room if you go to the store and buy you some clean clothes, come over here and take a bath. And I gave him a room. And then the next year, I had sold it out to these people. He'd come back, and I'd be down with that woman and fall in love with him or something and marry him, like to kill me.
Yeah. Now, which McCoon was that?
Knowing he was a tramp. Hmm?
Which McCoon was that?
That was Azar.
Was that Azar?
Azar's wife, uh-huh. She married, then she married Azar McCoon after that.
I see. And Azar died just recently, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know him.
I tell you the reason we didn't make a door that place. You want me to tell you the reason? Because when they started waiting the tables and serving people, they were serving them in shorts and halters.
Oh, yeah.
They don't go.
Yeah.
John, is that a truck?
Oh, hell, is that a big truck?
Oh, no. Not the one that loaded.
Yeah. He's the one that can't get out.
I'm not coming around here.
Big up.
Don't get out.
I
can get out. You're going to have to maybe get a big job.
Yeah.
You're heavy duty jack, you know. Put something under it.
You see, it's leaning just enough. It's already leaning a little bit.
That's
50 cents.
They better jack it up
down.
They better put some props under it or something.
I don't think it's that tall. But now, I'm no judge of that, Adam.
How about you going to put the camel money in here?
Give them credit back there.
Have you...
Get they out of this year, Mr. Miles.
They've been getting, for the old best about that 20 cents.
20 cents a piece for the melon?
Yeah, that kind of, the big one.
For the big one?
Yeah.
Is that some of the man left? Or are they just writing cents?
Oh, no, they picked those this morning. These this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, they writing cents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they didn't have picking up there.
Oh, just run through them?
In fact, they didn't get over picking that this morning.
They just can't get to everything.
Can't get everything.
Oh, man, I'll go out there and get a few, and then I'll see you. Y'all just going to spend the evening here?
Yes, sir. It's a little wet out here right now.
Oh, hell.
Ain't you got a leaking gas line?
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Watch on that water there.
No!
I tried to get in, and I figured that car's gonna get out, and I went in behind the other one, and he's sitting in there.
Can't ever tell.
But nobody in this.
See, my buddy pulled in here to start with it.
Yeah. Let me tell you the latest.
Okay.
My battery went out.
It did.
I had a hunch, you know, as so old, and I gone ahead and done that.
Oughta went ahead and swapped it.
Yeah.
Well, he said it wasn't heavy enough to pull it, didn't he?
That's what somebody said.
But Aaron never said.
Yeah. But you said he'd turn it.
Well, Aaron fooled him more than batters than I do. He ought to know.
Well, did Aaron said that? I forgot.
Yeah.
Did I tell you Aaron said that? Yeah. I figured you was out selling cars or something. I hadn't seen you here. I've been over here. Went in there, talked to Mr. Weaver two or three times.
I went out buying someone there, bought a bunch of them.
Have you bought some?
More junkies.
For junk? For parts?
Yes, for parts, yes. Yeah, I bought some for parts.
These boys around here, you can't sell many cars around here, can you? Now, take this boy. He's over my house the other day. He wanted to buy that old Chevy, but he wouldn't have enough money to buy that ticket. This boy, Francis Presley's grandson down there.
Oh, C.S.?
C.S.
I wouldn't sell him a leaf off of that tree there. He's the starest pay in the world.
Is he?
He ain't no good. Don't sell that down nothing. He ain't paying. He owes me right now. And everybody else in town.
And?
If he ever gets in it, that's it. Well, he'll buy anything you sell him on credit. You buy anything you sell him. I don't care what it is, even if it ain't no good.
He said he had a job down the mill, but he got fired or lost the job.
He didn't hold a job nowhere very long.
He just quit?
No, he's so rotten sorry he has run him off.
Well, he's a nice talking boy.
Well, everybody talks nice, ain't nice.
Big fella, strong, healthy looking.
Yeah, all that glitters is not gold. You know?
But that old...
Why, he don't eat or talk to people. That's the kind you want to watch.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
He goes in.
I tell you, though, but that old Chrysler, that old Chrysler rides so much easier than that old Rambler. You know that Rambler was the hardest riding, hardest steering, driving car I ever had. There was no, never give to you, you know. You just had to work at it.
It ain't a better car in the world built than Chrysler.
Yeah.
You know it?
Every time I get in this car, you know, I'm fine with this car.
Well, this car here drives good, too.
Yeah,
it does.
Four flat tires. That's all
right.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. But these old Plymouths drive
good.
Drive and
good.
Ride good, too, to be an old car.
Yes, that's the truth.
They sure do.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it bumps along now, but it still swings along.
These old Plymouths are good. They sure are. They ain't bad.
Yes, sir, that old battery just quit.
They
had it.
Well, it didn't look bad, did it?
No, it looked bad. The pole.
Was loose?
Loose. Looks like a man would have noticed that, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I imagine they loosened it a little, taking it out.
Good.
Well, don't stop your work. I just want fast time day with it.
Well? Oh! Ha ha! Do you know it? It's a brand new one. Young fella. 27 years old, what do you say?
Yeah. Fresh out of school?
Out of seminary, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Not that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, about the last time I know him. You know, stay a minute. I was sitting here resting, and the other preacher come up there, using on the car, and couldn't get out.
Well, boy, I told him something before we left him. I believe you were sitting by pretty close.
I couldn't hear. All I hear is just y'all mumbling.
Yeah, he come out there and said it. The church is in bad financial status, you know. And I said, don't look at me. I said, so am I. I said, all the kids... trying for new clothes, and I said, they ain't got no shoes. I said, they tried stepping on these rocks around here when they got a hole in the bottom of the shoes. And I said, well, I didn't. They ain't no money that day. So, he began to talk. He said, well, he said, you know, people are having to pay for that car seat. He said, of course, I don't know how much you give. I said, I can tell you exactly how much I give. I didn't give them nothing. He said, you didn't? I said, I sure didn't. Didn't give a dime. He said, you didn't? I said, I sure didn't. Didn't give a dime. I said, I offered him $50 if he refused it. And I did. You know, I told you about it.
I remember that.
I offered him $50, and they said, well, we need $100. I said, if a hobo come by here and want a dime for a cup of coffee. And I said, then I offered him, give him a dime, and he turned around and told me he wanted 20 cents. I said, I'd take the dime back in my pocket, wouldn't you? He said, I believe we would. So quickly, he said that.
All right.
Marshall.
All right.
Come on. Yeah, he said, I'd be able to would. And I said, that's what happened to me. I said, I offered him $50. I told him me and my wife had $50 saved up we didn't need. Of course, we needed it, too. But I didn't mind sacrificing the $50 to give it to him on the property. If everybody they met gave him $50, I said, that means a whole lot. It would, too, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
I said, anybody give me that $50, I had to work for it. So I said, I'll give it to the church. But then they started talking to me. Now, we sell units. I said, the units is $100. I said, well, cut a unit in two. I said, half of it sell for somebody else, the other half. Well, we'd rather not do that. I said, forget about it. I said, I'm walking on up. There it is.
Buster? You didn't get too much business from there.
I know it. That's what I told him. I told him, I said, well, I said, if you expect, if the Methodist Church expects any money out of me, I'm going to have to work to get them. Yep. I said, everybody in that Methodist church got a car. But I said, they don't bring no goodness to me, the cat elsewhere. And I said, that's good and well with me. I don't care. I don't worry about it in a minute. Because I know they're good old Christian people. I said, I look at them and tell that. I said, we're sitting up there in church. But I said, how does the Methodist church expect me to pay them when I'm not, they're not giving me any of their work? Now, how do they expect me to pay them? The same people coming up here asking me for money, I ain't never got a dime out of them. I said, I'm expecting money from the poor folks around here, and people from Everson. There's a car out there from Shiloh out here, and I get a lot of work out of Gainesville. I said, I don't worry about people making this money. See what?
You know, I remember the best.
And the wheel run off before he got the game with it. You know it?
No.
Yeah. He talked coming in one day and said, what do you know about it? He said, I kept the car, up the game, let the round plate, the wheel run off before I got there. I gave one way out and figure that. I said, whenever you leading the horse to the water trough and he don't want to drink, I said, he's going to start balking. He said, is that right? I said, that's right. I said, I didn't want to go there. I said, I just didn't want to go to around the place.
What?
Hey.
Quine?
Yes, sir. Carmack.
Yeah.
Carmack. Mac.
Carmack.
He's up in our very long ago, sir.
What's
up? And hi, dog. Yes, sir. He said, I got a little bit of wheel trouble. So I turned the old wheel over, and I said, that thing's, he's a bearing in it. You got a bearing? I said, no, I can go get one. I can take it off and see what you need and go get one. He said, well, you think he'll make it up to game one? I said, yeah. Probably will. He might not, I don't know. I said, I'm not a foreteller. I can't tell a thing about that. I said, I know he will. So he went to game one, instead of them putting a bearing in that thing, they put a whole bearing on it, cost $30. He come back and said, what?
Ah.
I said, yeah. You know what that thing cost me? I said, yeah. I said, it cost you about $13 to $14. What's that? It cost me $30. He said, you know, they said the race wouldn't stay in that hub. Well, a lot of times they won't, you know. But I don't have no idea that happened on his, because he had that many miles on it, you know. But anyway, they got $30 out of it. But here the other day, back 2 weeks ago, he got to go down there and push him off. I went down there and pushed his car off, and he brought it up in. He said, what's wrong with that car? I said, something wrong with that generator. I said, I can't tell by standing out here looking at it what's wrong with it on the inside. I have to take it apart. But I said, might need brushes, might need an armature. He said, in other words, you're not sure then, are you? I said, I'm not even sure I'm standing there. I might be somewhere else. I don't know. And I ain't sure of nothing. He said, we're going to die and pay taxes out there. Well, you think I'm sure of. But I said, I thank you. He said, it might be the brushes, it could be the armature. I said, you don't know if he's going and look. He said, well, he says, I think I'll go by why electric said, you know, they're pretty good at spotting things. They got machines they can put on it. So if they put a machine on it, and they find out it's in the generator. They put the generator off, and what on the brushes? They charge him $9 to put a set of brushes in the generator. He come back and he said, you know, he said, it isn't the brushes. He said, what do you charge for putting in brushes? I said, $4. He said, you know what they charge me? Sure do. Wasn't there with you? How much they charge you? He said, $9. He said, well, they charge you $5 for driving that thing all the way to Gainesville. He said, that's what Mecca Joe got it. I said, that's what it is. Well, you ain't got a lot of people. I'm charge you $7 putting in brushes for the generator. Well, sure do. Okay. And boy, he done made a picture out of a bunch of them around here, too. You see all kind of cars hanging around, and now you don't see none, do you?
Buster, you know this.
Well, most of the conversation that he gave me was he had the impression that I didn't have a darn bit of sense, and he knew it all.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he didn't hear nothing, like I say, he didn't hear nothing I said. He wasn't listening to my viewpoint until the other day he started listening to him. He said, you know, he said, I hate to admit it, but say, you about half and half right. About those people in that church down there. I said, well, me and my wife go down there, and I said, she's just as nice a person ever was. And I says, she went to church down there a few times, and I said, that bunch had just walked right out there and walked right on over her and wouldn't speak to her, said good morning, kiss my foot, nothing else. And I said, they do each other that way. He said, well, he said, yes. He said, you know, I've kind of noticed that about them people down there. I said, well, that's the way they are. I said, they got their little crew down there running that thing. And I said, they don't want no outsiders. I said, didn't old Brother Cook, whenever he was here a long time ago, because you don't remember him.
Yeah, I do, too.
You know old Brother Cook?
Yeah.
Well, he invited an old boy to live right down in Sally. He's tied to him,
Cook. No, I remember Miss Cook.
You remember Miss Cook?
Yeah.
Well, her husband was living that time, and her and old man Pete, invited this fella down here, and he's kind to him. But he's a good fella. And they asked him to come to church. He said, well, he said, I ain't got the best clothes in the world. And says, that's the only reason I don't come. Old man Cook wasn't preaching that time, so he done took the anyways, you know, quit. So he gave the old man an old suit he had. It wasn't worth a hoot. And yeah, man, how about giving me that dog? Well, so he gave the old guy some clothes, and the old guy still looked kind of shabby. But he went down there. And do you think people down there had anything to do with him? We used to call him Coca-Cola, because he's bad about going out drinking Coca-Cola. And why they went up, old man Peace was the only man down there, went up there and shook hands with him. You know old man Peace.
Oh, yeah.
And old man Peace is all right.
Yeah.
He's a Christian man. He's the only man who went up there and shook hands. That little girl ain't gonna look at where she's going on that bicycle or nothing. Just rode right out in front of that car. That boy of mine, he does the same thing. They ain't looking where they go up. But anyway, they wasn't worried about him because he ain't got no money. You know what I mean? And most of what they're thinking about is them people that can put that money in the some little collection box that goes by. That means a whole lot.
Takes a whole lot.
It's kind of like that fellow that comes from Texas, you know. He sold a ranch out, and man, he had piles of money out there, so he come down here to Florida on a little vacation, you know. So why is he said, all them people going to church, he said, you know, says, I've always worked so hard all my life, I ain't had a chance. Not had a good mind of doing that. And mix with the people and see what life's all about. So he did. He went on in, you know, and he sat there. So that's why he come out, and he's standing out there on the churchyard, you know, and he was using a little profanity. Not too much, but a little bit, you know. Talking about his damn big ranch out there in Texas. Using a little profanity, you know, and that's why the preacher heard him. He come over and he says, listen, says, what's your name? He says, my name's Tex. He says, my name's so-and-so. I said, I'm the preacher here. He said, I ought to know it. I heard you preach a while ago. He said, well, I'd like to tell you something, Tex. He said, you know, this is the Lord's ground here you're standing on. He said, I know that. He said, you was using a little profanity out here. He says, yes, I did use some profanity. He says, but that don't hurt nothing. He said, I buy my way of where I go. I pay for everything I get and everything else. He said, you remember that collection plate that come down the aisle? Yep. He said, do you remember when it went back up to the, up to all of that, where you was at? He said, yeah. He said, you remember there was a damn $500 bill in it? Oh, he said, the hell it was! He didn't say it, see? That's the way it is. They do a little cut themselves and they have to, you know.
Yeah.
He said, there was a damn $500 bill in it. He said, the picture said, the hell it was! It didn't do no good. You know, he called me an infidel here one day.
Yeah.
You remember that?
You told me.
He says, you an infidel. I said, well, thank you, sir. I said, I'm glad to know. I said, I knew I was something, but I didn't know what it was. I said, I'm glad to know now. So that's the next time I seen him, I don't know why he didn't come to church. I said, listen, I said, it don't do an old infidel any good to go to church. I said, they are born infidel. I said, you can't change them. I said, no, I don't care what you do. I said, you can't talk them into becoming a Christian, can you? He said, well, I said, people can change. I said, infidels never change. And I said, no, man. I said, I'm going to some other church. And that's what I told him the other day. I said, whenever I get ready to go to church, I said, I'm going to go to another church. And I am, too. Then I said, too, when they start talking so big. You know that?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, they'd always write what he says, you see.
Oh, well, he knows it all. He don't know nothing. You don't know nothing.
No. And you don't have a chance to say much.
Well, whenever you start to express your viewpoint about the thing, he cuts you off.
Yeah.
He cuts you off.
Yeah.
And if he sees that you're right about something, he starts off on some other conversation. He diverts the conversation to something else. You notice that?
Yeah.
You ever have him do that to you?
Yeah. No, yeah. Oh, hell, I never got a word in.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, but he'd be talking about something, and then if he saw that you had a point, he'd say, what the hell car there? Don't I know that car? And start talking about something else.
You talk to him about something.
Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit.
Yeah.
And every time I talked to him, you know, like I say, I had to give him the devil because he just knew everything. I didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
And he stayed over my brother's house all the time.
Did he?
I'd have run his ass like a long time ago.
Doing that right up until the end?
Why, sure, still doing it. And my brother's wife, of course, it's all big friend and all that, you know, but, you know, I don't like people just too damn friendly. I don't like you, but I want to talk for a while, and that's why it runs out, and that's it. But you take people like him, he goes over there and drinks coffee and sits down and brews case, and you can't say the things you want to say. If you want to cuss him out, you couldn't cuss, or nothing else, you know. One of his sermons, he always tried to make that thing just as complicated as he could, and I think he studied all week trying to figure out what words to use and what phrases to use to have that thing so you would understand, to make you think you're educated.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I don't know.
Well, I've heard him use phrases, and that's why he'd use that same phrase again, you know. I know several people that does that. They'll pick out a word. You know, like, I know one time my sister come over here. She tried to play big shot, you know. Lives over here at got a big ranch over here.
I know.
Old Lovett Jackson.
Jody?
Yeah, Jody tried to be big shot once in a while. One, here about 3 years ago, she picked up that old word perturbed, you know. And she's about to wear the thing out on me. Just like I didn't know what perturbed means. She said, oh, I was so perturbed. And stuff doesn't happen, you know, and all that bullshit. Well, I didn't change it. I wasn't worried about being perturbed. And then here, not that long ago, she had, she come over here, that old word audacity. Well, I knew what audacity was. I got a pretty good vocabulary myself. She said, and he had the audacity to come up there and ask me to loan him $10. Her son, you know. And that's what I'm saying. He's the same way about his preaching. He would pick out a certain word, and he'll
yeah.
use that thing two or three different
yeah.
times. And then, but he'll pick out a word that nobody don't know. I know he picked out so loud, I didn't know what it meant. But if he just come down to earth and talk, just pure everyday talk with us, he'd understand a whole lot better, wouldn't he?
Don't it pretty?
Yeah.
Somebody said she's one of the prettiest girls ever grew up in this country.
She is. She was, too.
She's still nice looking.
Yes, sir. She was a nice girl.
And Jane Woods, they said, was mighty pretty.
Yeah.
She came in.
I don't remember Jane whenever she was young. I don't know her.
Said it back down in the backside, pulling down. I guess it got through that.
That's a good place for him to be.
Yeah.
Have to look at him.
He red. They done turned white.
Wasn't any green on them, didn't look like.
Huh? They red as they'll ever see. I don't care if they don't weigh 5 pounds.
Yeah. Is that natural or is that sunburn?
Well, some of them will always do that. But sometimes sun and dry weather make them do that quicker.
Yeah. Jimmy, he's raised a lot of melons.
Who, James me?
Uh-huh. James me.
I don't think he's ever grew me. He's worked in them all his life.
Oh. But he don't work in them now.
Yeah, he does, too. He's right down at that field this morning.
Is that right? What'd he do down there?
Helped him grade them. Pulled out curls and green ones.
Oh. Well, he ought to be good at that then.
Yes, he's done it all his life.
I know.
Half or two of them, but he never did plant many. He was sweet potato man. Cabbage.
Well,
that's
one crop of them. You wouldn't be seen.
What's that, friend?
Well, that's a one.
He said he didn't ever have one crop of them, and he wouldn't pick them when he had them.
Somebody else would have to go in there and get those mellows out. Oh, well, I mean, he'd get, he just got so he couldn't work in them.
Then you give us 60. Thank you, sir.
Well, I had some old roofing freezing gallon cans up on top of that, and it got hot or something and run over and run down on that stuff. That old asphalt stuff. I bet it's the devil clean out there, wasn't it?
Oh, it didn't matter a little of it, sir. Just work clothes.
Hello? Yeah, I can get that. And I don't sell them like I used to sell them. People used to put on a lot of clothes and overalls in the wintertime and put those things and stuff them right down in the overalls and pretty good window. Instructions here on this zip thing, business, and I'm supposed to send in a little certificate certifying that I read it and all. And I misplaced that thing and I can't find it to save my life.
You know, these magazines.
This one, Saving Bonds Campaign. They got one of them on there. They want all of them, every man that gets a salary to buy savings bonds.
Uh-huh.
They take it out of a salary. And send you a bond once a month or twice a month, however how you want. You get a lot of promotion on that stuff. Fill out forms and tell them how many employees you had that were buying bonds, or if you were buying them, or this and that and the other, and then. It's a lot of things like that is thrown up on the department that makes it cost, runs the cost of the whole thing up.
Yeah, and causes everybody in it paperwork.
Hold out there. There's American Ships, Bridges, Seas. Help them that help themselves. And here's something I know you'd be highly interested in. How to ski safely.
Yeah, that came through the post office.
That's it. Well, it came from that.
Forest
Services, you know, the State Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
But they dump all that off on the post office to stick up for them and promote and all that, and it takes that much of your time to do it.
And
now, this is from the United States Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Oh, you put all them things out?
Yeah, I have to put them up there. Put them up.
Well, I don't know.
The Peace Corps. Social Security.
Maybe some of your customers.
This is from your superintendent of documents there.
I thought maybe some of your customers put those things
up. All this I've stuck up and I'm supposed to go through all that and take off all the ones that have been caught. That's the FBI there, Federal Bureau of Investigations. We're kind of a dumping place for all the other agencies, is what I've always contended.
I didn't realize. Didn't realize.
Now you take in a large post office. It takes quite a bit of help to keep up with all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to answer questions on some of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if anybody asks you about it, you're supposed to know a little?
Close to you. I'm not supposed to all this stuff in. That's not any of my affair there. I might tell them where they can go to find information about it.
Fred, I wish you'd do something with them saws. Every time I see them, I want one of them.
I've got one of them at the house. I reckon I'm going to have to take the other. I've already used it a time or two. Not much. That's a coarse one there, but that fine one. I had to use it up there cutting that stuff that I put up there.
But you just can't cut everything with an electric saw. Good saw.
I can't cut hardly anything with it unless it's framing or something like that.
Yeah. Rough?
Yeah. Oh, I guess you could have got a real fine blade for it.
Let me ask you something.
I'd rather cut those hands on myself. I didn't get the line better enough.
Yeah, I can't hit it too well with any of them. Let me ask you, it's been on my mind. Jeff Gilbert was down here the other morning. I forget when. Does he come down here about the same time every morning?
Comes down and gets his mate.
What time?
Picks up a quart of milk or a package of beech nut chewing tobacco or something like that. He's generally down here about, oh, between 8 and 10 o'clock.
Oh. He was up there the other morning.
I think he was had charge of a bunch of them. I was some way connected with them. He told me a tale about the First World War when they used to pull those guns around with. You know, that's all they used most of them.
Yeah.
Mules and horses to. Horses, I think, is what pull the guns around with. But the mules, they use them on the water wagons and real carts and things like that.
Well, I didn't know that. I don't remember hearing him say that.
The old fellow's been around. He's been in a whole lot of things. Bad as Patterson. Patterson's been into a whole bunch of things, too.
Yeah, you can't bring up anything but what Patterson doesn't, hasn't had a little experience in. But he never claims to know anything about it.
You get him started.
You know, I hate to go up there and see.
You get him started, you know. It takes Mr. Patterson so long to tell him the thing. He's got to go into every detail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he ought to have plenty of time.
This old fellow Jared comes down here. He tells some good ones once in a while, too.
Yeah. Yes, I've noticed that.
You know where he got his bunch of cows from, Fred? His start? From Delma Pond. Said he bought 11 heifers from him and he still got the 11.
Is that the man over there?
Yeah. He told me he went by to see. Somebody went over to see Delma and was telling him that Delma has to sleep sitting up.
Tell me that, yeah.
Has it been the doctor?
Yeah, they've been treating it for quite a while. They told me they had him cured, but much not. I mighty hard over there in that produce dealer. Stayed up at the night and talked on that phone and smoked many a cigarette, trying to keep awake, I reckon. Selling produce?
Yeah.
Money orders, I got to pay a couple of bills.
What
do
you want two?
Huh?
Want two?
I want one for
$6.41 and one for $3.08.
Marvin Townsend to look after more airport.
Marvin was up there yesterday and told me he wasn't
going
to do it.
He
said he wanted him to go to the schedule and stay in the truck. He said he thought he could do it.
That they
want
him to what?
Check the weights on all the trucks. Go to the schedule for them. Make sure they don't beat him out enough.
Well, what's wrong with that? What's hard about that?
That man left some real tests or something. I was sent over to the guy that drunk
himself. Do it, baby. Yes, you can do that song.
408. 25. 641. 25.
I tell you.
In the middle of that.
I expect he gets all the excitement he wants, just from day to day with those cattle and things like that. When did you see Marvin?
Yesterday.
He come out that field yesterday and we was up there.
He came over there.
You put some of them you can't always be easy with. Some of them, half of them I fool with. You open the gate and get the chute open and just walk in there with them. They'll turn around and go on in there. But some of them don't do that. We got a couple of them up there in the field. I don't know how in the world you'd ever get them up a chute. I've tried to load them two or three times. A couple of old cows, and they just won't go up there in no way, shape, or form. Ease them, you can whip them, but they ain't gonna go up.
Yeah. I know some animals like that.
Generally, it's your gentlest ones that are that way, too.
Just won't move for you.
Hogs are the same way. An old wild cow or wild hog, you get him in a pen and open the gate. Put him on the truck, he's going right straight up.
He'll look for that gate. He'll see that opening.
Can you do that? I don't know who's going to take it.
No.
I don't know. I can see how he gets
this. Too many cows over in there, hadn't you?
But you know,
all us that he sold just about all his cows to plant them watermelons. Now, these things do look like to me.
Yeah, he has some nice animals over there.
Yeah, he did. He's had. He's taking a job now.
Yeah.
God, I what you want to do.
What do you say, friend?
See, that's what you ought to do. That's what the cows plant all that watermelon over. You see how wind money he's going to make over there.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
I hope I can get some help, mine.
All right. Did you go over and look at those melons that we were talking about?
Yes, sir.
Well, how did they look? I had
to cut. You got to put a crop of melons over. And they're about ready to cut, and I think they're cutting over there today. That's what that does. Well, ice cream man said he saw a trailer pool in there, so they must be loading them today.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? I hope they get something out of them.
I do, too. I hate to see the man get stuck over there. Seemed like a pretty nice fellow.
But they looked like pretty good melons?
Yes, sir. They're pretty melons. Freddy went over and looked at them with them. I can tell you about them, too.
And plenty of them.
Pretty nice crop. They're worth more than that fellow offered him, I can tell you that, I think.
Yeah.
I think he did wise by refusing to take that. Unless he gets hooked on the loading all over there.
Well, that's not hard to do, is it?
I don't know. He looks after his stuff over there.
Well, he's not there.
Well, now that's his hard luck there. If he can't be there, what might happen?
He can't be two places.
But one. I don't say the man that beat him. I don't know about the man that he's in with. Might be all right. Again, he might not be.
Well, you got a lot of men you're working with. You got to weigh them out.
That's right. Sure have.
Do you go to scales when they are?
Pretty cool. We take them down there to that belt. Well, we weigh in, going out, in and coming out, both times.
Where do you do that?
Yes, sir.
There on the highway?
Yes, sir.
No,
he
sir.
He hates that work. He wants to get out and do something, you know.
He won't last. He just can't last long
he
up there.
He can't sit still long enough to sit there.
The less work they're given, the less he'll like it.
Yeah, yeah. We heard some good news last night. He called Mr. Horn, the buyer of these melons, and talked to him.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Wilkinson is the biggest jipper there ever lived.
Yeah.
I never saw the light.
Yeah. Well, at least you take a sense of humor. You I mean, you don't seem to be worried about it.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not now, but I was up until last night. But Mr. Horn said that if you don't watch him, he'll take every penny you got.
Oh, he said that. He said that.
We thought Mr. Horn was the one behind it all, too, you know.
Yeah.
So he was just about as bad. But he's not. He's licensed, and if he did anything like that, he'd lose his license.
Uh-huh.
And put him out of a good job. So.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, go play. And
goodness. Look at that chest. I'm telling you, that's a boy.
Is he, though? He's a mess.
He's a mess.
He was a mess a while ago. He was in the mud, and I mean he was filthy. I had Ronnie go take him in the shower.
It looked like he'd been in the water somewhere.
Yeah, I just had a shower. You should have seen me 5 minutes ago.
Well, I'm glad you got to
come
get
on
here.
In. Let's have a seat. I've been all morning.
I'm ashamed to come up even.
On this side. While I'm here, I'll put around these flowers.
Well, what about that now?
Y'all do the nicest. I got a little bit of everything planted.
Y'all do the nicest thing. That looks like an artificial plant.
This here is a bouquet pepper plant.
I never saw anything like that.
Oh, it's beautiful. It turns, when they come out, and the little ones, it blooms first. The blooms are pretty. Then it comes out into a real pale white color, and it keeps turning different colors. This is the next color. Then it gets to be a yellow color. Then it turns to a bright red.
Well, the yellow's farther along than the purple.
Uh-huh. Then the pink. And then it'll turn a pinkish color.
Yeah.
After it turns this color, then it starts getting pinkish.
Well, I never...
And then it'll get real bright red, and then it'll turn back a deep purple again.
Hmm. Well, I'm...
spread all over everything else. I can't turn it back. So the other things can get some sun.
And we don't have a zine.
I like root knot around there because I've lost a few of the azaleas. And,
Uh-oh.
There's, what was it? Dahlias. I planted dahlias. I put a whole bunch of them in there, and they're not doing anything.
Oh.
Whether it's a root knot or that I have here, and I want to get a white cutting somewhere. Well, you know what I did here about 2 years ago? Down south, see, we have these big bushes down south here. This one was a big bush, and I trimmed it way back. But these, all these small ones, I took a branch off of the big ones. And everyone said, well, I couldn't root them.
Yeah.
They live. They
well,
all made good bushes.
Well, I'll be turning brown. And they bloom?
Oh, yes. They're covered in bloom.
That's what I came to find out.
We got about 10 minutes outside the oaks over here, and it's come out the biggest, darkest cloud you ever saw. We came on and run back to the house. And
yeah.
We just got here, and it was downpour.
What day was that?
Let's see, what day was that?
What day was I over here? Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have the picnic lunch
out
here.
I got... Now, if that's not order in the weather, I never saw it.
I just hope we don't get... They say that these will get spots on them if we don't get them out of the field. They're going to start picking today.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Horn's going to come out here and watch Mr. Wilkerson.
Uh-huh.
He's going to stay right with him until the last melon sold. And Berman, see, he can't be here. He's got to be off. And he's worried, Mr. Horn's worried, that he'll unload half the trailer before it gets to its weighing point. Did you beat that?
Why?
I said, well, you know what I'll do? I said, I'll just ride right along with that truck. In terms of how you going to do it with all these kids? I said, I'll find somebody there. And he said, well, let me talk to Mr. Horn. So he talked to Mr. Horn again on the phone. Mr. Horn said he wouldn't come out and stay right with him until they're all closed. So whether we can trust, I don't know Mr. Horn no more than I know Mr. Wilkerson, but we're just going to have to take a chance.
Berman.
But can you beat that, though? And he told Berman last night, he still says he sold out half the melons. Mr. Horn said, I didn't buy any melons from Mr. Horn, from Mr. Wilkerson out there. He said, I did in another field, but not your field. He said, when you have your tickets made up, he said, you have them made out to... at the weighing station, you'd have them out to Mr. Dodd and Mr. Wilkins, both of them. So the picture made out to him, he owns half income. But he told Berman on the phone, he was talking to Mr. Wilkins. And Mr. Wilkins said, well, he said, Dodd, he said, you don't want to sell out yours for $2,000? And said, no. He said, I'm going to stick with him and see what they bring. He said, well, if you don't want to sell them at $2,000, how much would you take for them? He's trying hard to buy Berman out because Mr. Horn found out that the melons are going up pretty good now and that he could get a good price for what he's got.
Okay.
Berman told Mr. Horn, he said, you know, Mr. Wilkinson wanted these melons for $2,000, wanted me to sell out for $2,000. He said he did. And Berman said, yes, he did. He said, he's still after them. And he said, well, don't you do it. He said, you can make that much off of just a few days cutting out there.
Who said that?
Mr. Horn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm very well pleased now with the with the whole business. But boy, before he called last night, I was pretty well sick last night, and I didn't get to hear the conversation or anything, so I went on to bed, and I didn't know about it until this morning before he went to work. And he told me all about it, so that made me feel a little better. So I know you get worried, and you get yourself, you worry, so you worry yourself sick half the time. At least I do.
Oh, honest.
No, I don't either. I eat my cows. By golly, they'll eat. They won't bother you.
No.
They go in the market, though, and you don't get the price you want for them.
But you
can. It's like you said, then you want to take them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you lose on them, so. But now things seem to be going a little better for us. I hope so. I hope that the melon seems to be doing good, and we have another interest down at the down south. So maybe it'll all work out. I hope.
Yeah.
How about you know where Pfeiffer is?
Yeah.
They had hail over there.
Yeah.
And a man Mr. Horn was telling Berman that a man right around here that had 40 acres of beautiful melons to sell, and they'd be ready for picking within 2 days from the last day he saw them. That would have meant they would be picking ready to pick today. And that hail hit those melons, and each time one of them, the hail was a good size round, I guess he said, from the way he talked on the phone. And he said when it hit the melon just busted in two.
Oh.
Just busted open. And he said when they got through, they went out there and looked among that 40 acres of melons that he had. He said, it looked like hogs had been all through in there.
Well, I never heard of it.
So they're going to turn cows in there and eat the melon. Looks like it would, that much melon would hurt a cow, doesn't it? Or would it?
I don't know. Oh, I never saw the light. Look at that. They're playing mud
balls. That hail had busted their melon.
Mud balls. Look at that. See that. Mud balls.
Hank! Timmy! Look at the little one now. He's into it, too.
Yeah.
They just got a whipping for that.
Yeah.
Timothy! Come here to me.
Shirley, don't stop the thing you're doing. I just
wanted to see
how you get along. What you doing? How you hike was?
Oh, we had a time. We went fishing yesterday.
Oh.
And got down to the fishing hole down here, and that little boy that comes to spend the week with Timmy. What did I tell you a while ago?
I told him you got mud on me.
Now wait just a minute. I saw you throwing some too. You mean to tell me that one whipping isn't going to be enough for you this morning? Now you and Hank go down there and take a shower. And I don't want to catch you in that mud anymore. That's what they're doing it for, to go down there and take a shower. They live down there, probably. They get down there and look at the biggest man.
Pretty good.
I thought I'd just bring in lunch and pack the thermos. Made a thermos jug full of Kool-Aid for them, and we went down there to spend the day. They didn't have time. These two here fished like old troopers.
Oh.
And that little one there, he caught a big old shiner that I never knew that they grew so big. And that's about all they were catching, was brim and shiners. But this one was a huge thing.
Well, where did you go down to the creek?
Right down here at this little old hole here in the middle of the field.
Oh, you're on place.
Yeah, we walked down it. See, I have no way of getting around now. I have to hike.
And with your
the axle or something broke in the back end of it. He spent all that money fixing the front end, and now the axle went in the back end. It happened, and Berman said, "Well, I'm trying to fix it," but he says, "Now that guy's messed it up," he says, "I doubt if I can do much with it." One day we were over there when we were, I don't know whether it was before you got your bull or just about that time around. And he said he was going to offer to help you fix the thing, but he said he's afraid of what that other guy had done to it. And
well, now,
the... You didn't see the truck after he got through with it, did you?
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, boy, he put a new engine in that thing and called it, put everything new in it. We were pretty well pleased with it, because it was just excellent. He was doing that for somebody.
Yeah.
And then he went over to Mr. Wilson the other day, and he just got through working on the car, and he had it running pretty good, and he ran up on the stuff and busted something underneath the car. So, you can't wait to lose him. He was trying to help him pull something in, and he ran up on the stuff. I don't know how to get that through there. You know, he'd come across other little things that happened to be in his place, and he'd have it out here, and he had parts laying all around, and he had it out here for about 3 months, all torn into little bits. And I thought, goodness, he'd never get it right together. But he did, and the thing ran real well. He was pretty well pleased with it. But then that thing back here gave him some trouble. Now he's trying to find an axle in one of these junkyards, so we're going to have to buy one.
Tractor.
A lot cheaper than Berman does on his. It doesn't take near as much for his little old tractors to get around. Yet they can do a lot of crop work while Berman can't do very much crop work to mount to anything because it costs so much to run the tractor.
Uh-huh.
Now, for breaking new ground or something like that, it's pretty good. But he uses it for, heaven knows, he uses it for a bulldozer and a drag line and a ditch digger and just anything that comes along. Well, of course, he gets the work done, and he might save some that way, but he's using the wear and tear of the tractor.
Yeah.
A little bit like living this morning.
Now you can go fishing and
well,
think
I
about
would,
fish.
I would have if I had time, but today I told the kids, I said, now I spent all day yesterday fishing with you and playing ball with you. Today I'm going to go down here and do my work. So I had to do it. Daniel, you'll break your neck that way. Get down. Well, he gives you such a spiel, and he gets, it's buddy, buddy this, and buddy that, you know. After a while, you get kind of leery of it, you know. But, I was sick when I found that. Because he and his wife both came out, and they seemed to be such nice people to begin with. And then, and he knows we got the children. It looks like to me that they would take a little consideration there for a while, but well, Berman told him, he said, no, rather than go out and have you go off talking, he said, I want you to give me a fair price on this irrigation, and whatever you say, I'll pay you. So, Mr. Wilkinson won't have anything to peeve about. He's going to go ahead and pay him for all the irrigation that he's done out here. So that won't give it, he won't have paid a penny out here in irrigation. And he promised that was part of the agreement for him to come out and irrigate. But, I guess he was figuring on the rain at the time he said that or something, because he seems to think now that we should pay for it. And that kind of hurts, but rather than to think, you know, have him go off and say something that we weren't fair with the deal, he's going to go ahead and pay him. No, that's what I told Berman. He's going to find something else to complain about. But I don't know what that would be, because... the only thing then he'd have experience.